Welcome to Cocktail Mode, the podcast where me, Andy, and my mate Dave, say hello, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Talk about a classic computer game, video game, and then try and pair it with a cocktail. Today's game is Time Crisis and its various sequels and spin-offs, as well as, what do we have? We had Science Scope, Golgo 13.
Point Blank. I feel like there's a couple we never really talked about as well.
We're only going to briefly mention Virtual Cop.
Lethal Enforcer. Came up in the outro to the last episode when we were saying about this, and then we never did it.
Yeah, true. So if you're looking forward to those things, move on. If what you want to hear about is Time Crisis and some Spectrum games, as usual, then keep listening.
Do you have Time Crisis playable on the PlayStation with an original gun? Because if anybody would, it'd be you.
I have, as of earlier today, every different version of Time Crisis that's been released for a home console and the original guns to play them with. So I took delivery. Mr. Postman came round earlier today and with Time Crisis 4 and the hideous bright orange gun that goes with it. Honestly, it's like they've fallen so far. It's like, apparently I've not played it very much. I had a quick go earlier today on the arcade mode, but there's a first-person shooter mode for it. And for that, you need a controller. So they've, from what was, if you remember the original G-Con 45 or Gun-Con 45 that is in America, it's quite a nice-looking thing. Grey, weighty, well-made, just, you know, a gun, a trigger, and a button on either side at the front. This thing is a gun that feels like it's made of the world's cheapest plastic.
It probably is.
Bright orange. It's got six buttons and two analog joysticks attached to it.
What? Sounds like an N64 controller.
It looks like that thing out of, you know, Existenz, that weird.
Do you have to plug it into your thorax to use it?
The weird thing is, it's genuinely like the gun, and then they've gone, all right, because of the way we've got this set up with this first-person mode, we need like half a controller, and we need to incorporate that somehow. And someone's gone, half a controller. We'll cut one in half and glue it to the front, and that'll be how it works. And this is genuinely what it looks like.
Oh, no. I should Google it, actually.
Yeah, it's the G-Con 3, or the Gun-Con 3. But it's just, honestly, it's the weirdest thing. It didn't, from the pictures I saw, I didn't quite twig about the bit on the front.
Oh, my God, it really is half a controller, isn't it?
It's half a controller glued to the front, It's just bizarre. And apparently, I've not played it yet, but the first-person shooter mode that you can use it with is fucking terrible anyway. So,
so what's it on PS3?
Yeah, so you get the gun and you get two LED sensors. You have to sit on top of your telly as well.
Mm-hmm. So you can play it on LCD.
Yeah. Which, again, I read reviews and they were saying, oh, it's really flaky. I set it up in no time, so it worked absolutely fine. So I'm not really sure what that was all about. Pretty sure my Time Crisis is from when it came out originally.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Project Titan I brought fairly recently, probably a year or two ago. Time Crisis 2 I've had a long time. Time Crisis 3 I picked up fairly recently. I went actually for a spate of playing light gun games because I've modded one of my guns.
Mm-hmm.
So I got off eBay an electronic foot-operated switch.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and just basically opened up the gun, found the literally two contacts and it's two wires on the switch, wired it in, runs out the bottom, switch on the floor. Works an absolute dream. So
brilliant. I like that.
Yeah, it's such a easy thing to do. And it's completely reversible as well. If you're like me and you're a little bit game preservationist, I could open that up again and undo that solder and it'd be back to normal and you'd never know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the sort of mod I like. So, I mean, you can just, you know, if you had to, you can go back to stock and no harm done.
Yeah.
I like it when you have to butcher things and start cutting plastic away and all that sort of shit. But yeah, that worked an absolute dream. So I went for a spare playing them. So I have 2 free and Crisis Zone for the PlayStation 2, Time Crisis and Project Titan for the PlayStation 1. And say, as of earlier today, I got Time Crisis 4, and I was in CEX, and they had Time Crisis Raising Storm, which is basically a re-release of Time Crisis 4 for that weird Move controller that the PlayStation had. Looked like a...
Like a dildo.
Well, I was going to say that, but judging by YouTube's policies, we'll probably not have to edit that out, won't we? But yes, it looked like a neon dildo. So I can't even play it, but it was £8 and I was in CEX. And I thought, if I buy that, I'll have everyone available. And my completionist kicked in, so I bought it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yes, I went back and played them all. And they're brilliant. Genuinely brilliant. I absolutely love them. I don't think Project Titan was an arcade game.
I've never heard of Project Titan. Fill me in.
So I'm pretty sure. I think there's a weird sort of timeline of it. I think it was developed after Time Crisis 2.
Mm-hmm. Just looking at the timeline, you got Time Crisis in 95. I guess that's arcade.
Yeah.
Time Crisis 2, 97. Crisis Zone, 99. Is that the one with machine guns?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Project Titan, 2001. Then you got 3 in 2002, 4 in 2006. In 2005, Raising Storm, 2009, Time Crisis 5 in 2015, with apparently new games coming.
I saw that. Which is, I mean, you would assume arcade mainly, but it's great. I mean, Time Crisis 4, from what I played of it, is not very good.
No?
No, because what's great about Time Crisis is just how ridiculous they are. And it is still ridiculous. You know, the two main characters have got ridiculous Gen 7 hair and, you know, dressed like some kind of, I don't know. Who did he remind me of? He looked a bit like Jack Sparrow, the character that I chose.
I was going to say, they look like Final Fantasy characters.
Yes, exactly that. They've got Final Fantasy hair. And when you play it, it's always clearly built on, well, I say clearly, it's got the look of being built on an Unreal Engine. Well, everything's grey, corridors are square, got that Gen 7 look of it. Everyone decided that everything had to be a bit more serious and all that sort of shit.
Mm.
So it's all a bit grey, which isn't really what Time Crisis does well. All of the others, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I don't think you can beat them for that sort of game.
They're very distinctive, aren't they? Gun games in general have always been probably the most immersive gaming experience you can ever have.
Yeah.
Because what you're doing simulates perfectly what the character's doing.
Yeah.
I suppose driving games maybe, sort of second best. But gun games specifically, you point a gun at a person on the screen, you pull a trigger, they get shot. You can't have any more better feedback than that.
No, and it's something that's been in the arcade since pretty much day one, hasn't it? It's always been there. I don't think there's ever been a time when there weren't gun games in arcades. And around about, I guess, towards the end of Time Crisis, Silent Scope was about 2000, wasn't it?
Silent Scope is genius. I absolutely love that game.
Yeah, and made even better by the fact it just doesn't work on a home computer. You have to have an arcade game of it to get the proper experience.
It needs the hardware.
Yeah, I mean, there was a Dreamcast version of it. I think they might have been ported to PlayStation 2 as well, but it just doesn't work. It's not the same experience. It's not even close. Have you played House of the Dead Overkill?
Overkill? Which one's that?
The most recent one. It came out sort of as a Wii exclusive very briefly and turned up on the PlayStation 3 as well.
Not as far as I know. The last House of the Dead game I played was Typing of the Dead.
Which is genius.
In looking earlier on at different gun games that I would want to sort of talk about, basically the Time Crisis page, the Point Blank page, Typing of the Dead, Silent Scope. There is an arcade cabinet for Typing of the Dead that has two keyboards on it.
That's amazing.
It's the best arcade machine I've ever seen. I love it. I want it. I want that for no reason.
I fucking suck at Typing of the Dead.
I've never been any good at it. I tell you what, there was a Typing of the Dead version that came out on Steam, which is obviously years after the fact.
Mm.
Which might be called Overkill, actually, now that I think about it. And it's full of swearing, which really took me by surprise. I don't know why. I just thought, this doesn't feel right. Yeah, this is like a... Yeah, arcade games can't be that violent. really, no. Can they? Because of age restrictions on people playing them and things like that. I thought swearing in an arcade game just feels wrong. I suppose, obviously, at that point, it's not an arcade game, and they can ramp up the violence and add swearing at the same time. Why not? Go for it.
House of the Dead Overkill does have swearing. House of the Dead Overkill is hilarious. And deliberately so. It's made by a UK company for Sega. And it's unlike any of the other House of the Dead games. And it's obviously it's not that dissimilar because it's still shooting zombies. But it's
still ridiculous.
It's so, so funny. Like, so over the top. And it's just genuinely probably not as, it's not as good as the early Time Crisis games, but it's not far off as a shooter, especially on the Wii. The Wii had a fair few light gun games because of the IR pointer and how that worked.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. The Wii is probably the last hurrah of like gun based games.
Yeah, and frustratingly, the gun shaped housings that you could put your controller in, none of them really worked properly. None of them you could really aim with or anything like that. So you usually went with the pointer. But that's what they were designed for. So it worked, that whole relative aiming thing. House of Dead Overkill is hilarious and brilliant fun. And really, really good. And yeah, I would say, if you list the games that are in competition with Time Crisis for best light gun shooter, I would definitely consider it. And I did mention when we talked about doing this last time that Virtua Cop doesn't hold a candle at Time Crisis, and it doesn't, but it's still the first one's still a good game. Do you remember on Games Master there was a guy coming and completed it in one sitting, not getting hit, like not wasting a bullet, and he just come, and it was like almost boring how good he was at it. And it was just like,
yeah,
you've taken what's a quite a fun game and turned it boring by just being too good. It was
I know how TV shows are made. That never happened.
You're such a cynic, Dave.
Oh, fuck off.
Right, yeah, I don't think... I mean, there was on the Wii as well, there's a couple of good crossovers. So, like, the Resident Evil, there are two. But on the Wii, there was Umbrella Chronicles and something else called Darkseid Chronicles.
Okay.
And they were very good. And then there was a Dead Space spin-off on the Wii. Called Extraction.
Okay. I've never played Dead Space.
No, they're very Gen 70. They're very much, you know, you walk third person, walk around very grey, very, and it's, yeah, not a fan. Yeah, so there was a spin-off on that for the Wii called Dead Space Extraction, and it's brilliant. I mean, for in terms of story-based light gun shooters, which is a weird Venn diagram, but it's brilliant. Probably because obviously the stories in Time Crisis are absolute nonsense, as they should be. They're arcade games. But if you wanted to find a story-based light gun shooter, then Dead Space Extraction is the one for you. It's really, really good. Dead Space has a, I won't call it a gimmick, a mechanic whereby you change the type of shot that your gun does. So you have one gun, but it changes. So the thing with...
Oh, is it like sort of vertical slashes and horizontal slashes or something? Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So obviously with the Wii Remote, when you're doing it, you just turn the controller to do it. And it works really well. It's really intuitive and it just fits together and does that light gun thing as you would expect a light gun game to be. So there are, you know, there are a lot of light guns out there that are things, but I still don't think after all that, after all this years and all these times and all these newer versions and all these silent scopes, because there's three silent scopes, isn't there? There wasn't, I don't think there was just one.
There was definitely a sequel.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Maybe it's just two.
There was a Dreamcast version.
Yeah, I know.
Game Boy Advance version.
That sounds amazing. I want that in my life.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't already know about it.
No.
Wait, I've got a shitty handheld version of this. There's four of them.
Four.
Silent Scope, Silent Scope 2, Silent Scope EX, and Silent Scope 3. They're just not going to work, though, are they?
No.
Home versions of something with that technology, that extra little monitor in the scope. The whole point of that, I thought, was genius.
Yeah, no, it is genuinely. And it was one of those things when you first play it, you're just like, this is incredible. Really, really cool. But it's like that. You're right. It's a really good point, actually. It is similar to having a steering wheel and playing a driving game, having a gun controller and playing a shooting game.
It takes away the need to learn any form of interface.
Yeah.
Like you walk up to any arcade game, you've got your joystick and three or four buttons, and it's like, well, what do they do?
Yeah.
You give someone a gun and point them at a screen with men on it, they'll pull the trigger while aiming at those men.
Which is potentially slightly worrying, but at the same time.
It isn't, I mean, every kid in the world has played with a pretend gun.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even need a gun, just point your finger and shoot.
Interestingly, yeah, my brother tried to keep guns away from his kids for a while, and they ended up picking up like toy drills and using them as guns, and there's just no stopping it. And it is, I genuinely think it's a bit sad that this is the world we live in, where guns are so ubiquitous that you can't even keep your kids away from them if you try to.
Yeah.
Because it is a machine designed to kill people, isn't it? That's its purpose. That's what it's for. But at the same time, shooting in games is usually quite a lot of fun, isn't it? But I think that's one of the things I like about Time Crisis as well, is being a bit of a soft old hippie. I quite like the fact that it's very cartoony and over the top and a bit silly, and I like that about it. And I like the over the top music and everything about it, and it's just all very, it's all a bit sort of, it's even James Bond looks serious next to Time
Crisis. I was just about to say, at his heart, it's a spy movie. It is a Bond movie.
Yeah.
That's the overall feel they've gone for and captured really well, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think I looked at a few things and I was trying to, I think probably when I was thinking about Cocktails and try and tie in Cocktails with it, about what I could go with as a theme. Well, I went down a sort of a rabbit hole trying to find a good tequila cocktail, because tequila is the name of the character in Hard Boiled.
And I was
because it's very much like Hard Boiled.
That's a film I've not seen for years. There was a game of that. Did you ever play it?
It was a sequel, Stranglehold.
Yeah. Apparently good, but yeah, I never played it.
No, it's really good. It's one of those things that got a lot of jip for being derivative of Max Payne. I mean, Cards on the Table, I preferred it to Max Payne. I thought it was better. Yeah, I just thought it was... Max Payne is a little bit of a weird one for me. I think if it's trying to be tongue-in-cheek, it's not working. And if it's trying to be serious, it's too serious. It's a bit like The Matrix in that regard. Just to lose us, our four listeners that we've actually got, by pointing out that thing. I say famously. I famously, between me and Dave, don't like The Matrix. But it's like that, and I found that about Max Payne. I couldn't tell whether it was trying to be sort of tongue-in-cheek over the top or being really po-faced and serious.
It's both, isn't it? In equal measure sometimes. Well, not in equal measure, but it's, generally speaking, for the entire game, it's dark as fuck. It's serious as cancer. And it's just, there's bits in it that are meant to be funny and meant to be sort of, a bit where he takes drugs or something. It's like, I was in a video game. There was rows of guns floating above my head and things like this. It's like, that was funny at the time. But yeah, when you look back at it, it doesn't bring it out of that seriousness. It's very dark. It's very serious, even with the odd joke.
Yeah, and to me, I found it's one of those things where I found that earnestness funny, which is not clearly what it was going for. But I guess maybe it's just me. I just found it really hard to get on with. But Stranglehold isn't like that. Stranglehold is completely over the top. And you can, you know, if there is an object near you, you can slide down it, on it, over it, while shooting at people. It's brilliant. It's so much good fun.
It's a John Woo film.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's what it is. It's what it should be. Going back quickly to Max Payne, one of the greatest gaming experiences I ever had was in Max Payne. There's a bit where you're in a hotel or something, and you burst into like a conference room, and there's a big like oval table in the middle of it, and there's a couple of blokes either side, and I ran in, and I had the Molotov cocktail in my hand, threw it in the middle of the table, and the splash damage set everybody on fire and killed them all instantly. It's like, I'm never doing that again. Sure enough, I die like 20 seconds later, try it again, doesn't work.
Yeah, Max Payne and me don't go on. There was a Game Boy Advance version of Max Payne.
How does that work?
Well, it works in isometric view, and I'm a bit of a sucker for an isometric view.
Your role of this seems to be educating me on the awful portable versions of games that have existed for 20 years that I've never even heard of.
Well, the great thing about portable games, as we talked about before, is you can't do the real version on handhelds as they were up until...
Yeah, you're forced down a different route.
Yeah, and so Max Payne was an isometric game. It actually worked really well. It was very much, you know, action-y and still sort of had sort of like comic panel rather than the cutscenes and all that. It was all in comic panels.
Well, that suits it.
It does, yeah. It's got that kind of vibe anyway, hasn't it? So, yeah, I was... I liked it a lot. It was one of those things where you're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of games, and it does seem to me Max Payne seems to be one of those games where I've quite often enjoyed the games that have followed it, copying it, more than the original.
Mm.
Like there was one called, can't remember, the subtitle is A Gunslinger's Tale in Mexico.
Total Overdose.
Total Overdose. Which again, didn't review very well. And was like a poor man's Max Payne.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved it. Completely over the top, absolutely mental. Sort of running up walls, doing backflips while shooting people. It had an open world element to it where you could get in a car and drive around to your missions.
Yeah, it looks vaguely Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that's what they were going for, but it's like they failed so badly there's an option where you can basically pause the game and just go to the next mission without having to drive there. And it's like they went, yeah, that didn't work. let's give everyone an option to just skip over that.
Have you seen the subtitle for Total Overdose 2?
No.
Tequila Gunrise.
Nice. What's that out on?
Oh, cancelled. It never came out.
Okay. What a shame. Just for that name. I was going to say, weird that that had passed me by.
Edos went bust while they were making it because they were making a two-part game based on Watchmen that never came out.
I guess they killed off the Fear Effects games at the same time because that was Edos, wasn't it?
Yeah. And they Tomb Raider.
I think early Tomb Raider was Edos, yeah. Published, obviously.
Yeah, Tomb Raider. Founded by Ian Livingston of Fighting Fantasy.
Oh, really?
Same, yeah.
Well, there's a thing. I never got on with those games, books, whatever you want to call them.
Well, you're never really a big sort of fantasy fan, have you?
No, which follows, actually, because the book that I read the most was basically Star Trek, so it's very much a sci-fi orientated one. I can't remember what it's called now, actually. It might have even been Starship something, perhaps. Not Troopers, which would have been a weird crossover.
Choose Your Own Adventure, Starship Troopers. Oh, that would be brilliant. There's an arachnid approach to you. Do you shoot it in A, the eye, B, the legs, or C, the head? If you want to sleep with Denise Richards, turn to page 7. If you want to sleep with Dina Meyer, turn to page 8.
Starship Traveller, it was called.
Ah.
But yeah, I did. I tried a few. I had a few. I think maybe I was bought them because people thought I would like them and just never really got on with it.
You're a teenager. You're a boy. Have this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is all taking us far away from Time Crisis.
Time Crisis, the book, would be a good one. Shoot middle, turn to page 16. Shoot top. There's a yellow guy.
I was going to say, to be fair, a lot of the action sequences are very much like that. It's who do you shoot first?
Yeah.
Because there's a very specific order you should shoot them in, isn't there? Some of the areas, although it never really tells you, if you shoot exactly the right people in exactly the right order, you get through an area faster.
Yeah.
So like, there's a bit where a big sort of blast doors close in front of you. And if you've done it perfectly up to that point, you race through that.
Right.
Because it's a time attack game as well. That's the big thing I'd forgotten. Despite the name, which never really clicked until about 4 days ago.
It's one of those things, isn't it? People in general get a bit, I say people in general, there are a type of video game consumer who gets quite persnickety about time limits in games and how they're bad design.
Mm. So it depends on what your game is.
Yeah, well, I don't think it does. I think it's good design. I don't have a problem with it ever. In some of those things, just be better.
get good.
yeah, I hate the whole get good thing as well. So that's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? But people who complain about that are expecting to get through a game first go, which again was a very Gen 7 thing. People started to expect to be able to play a game and get all the way through it on their first go. And
well, that's it. It's the early sort of generations of games, you didn't get through a game on your first go or your last go.
No.
Quite often, you never got through a game.
Oh, absolutely. I've got...
Yeah, like, you might get a bit further than you did last time.
I've got over 100 ZX Spectrum games, and I've probably completed two or three of them with that. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, as much as there are a good chunk of them that you don't really complete, like you don't get to the end of where the Exploding Fist, there is no boss.
Remember, I think it's probably out on Spectrum, it's out on everything, Barbarian.
Yes.
Just the one-on-one sword fighting thing. Yeah,
that did have a boss.
Did it?
Yeah. That you got to.
I don't remember that.
You got Drax, because he disappears. Because you remember the, one of the level screens, he's up on, in behind you on like a balcony watching over with the princesses that Maria Whittaker is on the cover.
Mm-hmm. And that's Barbarian 2.
No, she was on both.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yes, he disappears from the background, and I'm sure you have to fight him.
Yeah, single-player story mode. After the Barbarian has killed Drax, Mariana drops herself at her saver's feet, and the screen fades to black.
There you go. Wow.
I never knew there was a finish. Yeah. Obviously never got that far.
You may know this story, but I'll repeat it for our wonderful listeners.
A wonderful listener, Ed, wherever he is.
Yeah, hi, Ed. If you are the person, Ed, who subscribed to our channel, thanks, mate. There was a Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles game, it was actually called. It was on the box, on the Spectrum. It looks like it may have been the only Teenage Mutant Hero Turtle games released on the Spectrum. Big box game.
Big box.
Big box.
I still love the whole big box, little box thing for Amstrad and Spectrum games.
Yeah, bunch of it. Big box, little box. I borrowed it. I think somebody had given me a copy of it. And they brought in the manual and they said there's all these codes in the middle two pages and you're going to have to try and photocopy them or write them down or something. This is when we were at school. Because they printed it, it was red paper with black writing on it, so it didn't work. Mm-hmm. In old photocopiers, you had no hope, it was never going to work. So I wrote down all of these numbers and then went.
Oh my God.
Went home, loaded it up. Put in the code, all proud of myself. Well, there it is, that worked. And then finished the game on my first go.
What were we just saying about old games that you didn't finish on your first go?
It must have just been like brokenly easy or something. But yeah, and then that was it. Finished it, done. And I was like, that can't be it. That cannot be it. I spent my entire fucking lunch break writing down these numbers.
Spent longer writing down those numbers than playing the game.
I probably did.
Have you ever played Golgo 13?
No, I haven't.
I'm surprised this didn't come up on your MAME adventures.
Well, I think it might have done.
Yeah, it's a Silent Scope game, or a Silent Scope type game with a sniper rifle.
Yeah.
But instead of the aiming scope having its own monitor, it just had a magnifying glass that aimed at the screen.
Oh, okay.
But it had a thing where it only worked if you pressed the butt of the rifle into your shoulder. So there's like a switch on it.
Okay.
So you sort of lent into it. Yeah. It's based on a decades old manga.
Yes, I knew that.
Which is the longest running manga series in the world. Wow. It's still going.
You say in the world, in Japan.
Well, yeah, in Japan, yeah. But yeah, that's brilliant. It's like Silent Scope, but not as serious. It's not all hostage situations. It's things like shoot the high heel off a woman so she falls over and does a thing.
That's cool.
Like shoot a glass out of somebody's hand, things like that. It's really good. I'd really recommend picking it up on MAME.
Hitman the Sniper game.
Yeah.
Although weirdly, there was a Hitman Sniper game on the Android and iOS.
Is it Hitman Go?
No, Hitman Go is like a very simple turn-based strategy game. But yeah, Hitman, I think it's called Hitman Sniper or something like that, but you can't download it anymore. Like all modern games, it's been discontinued very, very quickly.
Mm.
And it's it's very much sort of, you've got sort of a scene of like a house built into a hillside, and you're obviously a sniper, and you get targets and things to hit, and it's quite very much in the Hitman vibe. I mean, you could just shoot people in the head and then wait for somebody to run at them and then shoot them in the head as well, or you could set up the whole sequence of events that...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the new Hitman games are like, but the early games were brilliant for that. They were so much fun.
They were brilliant. I loved them. Did you ever play, I think it was the third one, Contracts? Oh, it might have been Blood Money, now that I think about it. There's a level set in a, I don't know if it's a hotel, like an opera house or something.
The opera house is Blood Money.
There was a ghost in it.
Was there?
You went into like this closed wing of the building, and there's a room with a ghost in it. It's hell so weird. That? Yeah. I'll have to look it up, because it's, I just remember it so vividly. I'm like, as an odd thing.
I played a little bit of Contracts and a fair bit of Blood Money. They're the only two I played, actually. As much as I enjoyed them, those are the only two I only put any time into.
I played the first one a bit, which is a bit janky. Second one was good. Contracts was great. Blood Money was the best of that sort of run.
Yeah.
And then I did play the more recent ones. Played the first one of those quite a bit. The second one I've played a little bit, and the third one I played the first level of.
They're supposed to be good, aren't they?
They are brilliant. They're really, really good. They're right up there with like some of the best. I don't even describe them as stealth games, because half the time you're walking in plain sight.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that thing of just like you do all your stealthy bit in the background. You get janitor's clothes or whatever, and then you can just walk wherever you want, do whatever you want. And you're like, right, I'm going to get the knife off that guy, put it in this thing, carry that into the room, and then stab the guy in the throat. See how that works.
I think it might have been the first level on Blood Money where there's like a pool party going on, and you do something to the barbecue so that when the guy comes and lights it, it pretty much blows up in his face. It's very cool. I loved all that stuff. And that was at the Opera House. You could do that. You could go up and right into the roof and do something with the chandelier on that.
You could do the chandelier. My favourite one in the opera was to replace the fake gun with a real gun. There's a bit in it where the guy goes to shoot whatever the good character's name is, I can't remember it. And it's a fake gun, and they just do it repeatedly on a loop as a rehearsal. Yes. And if you can get the gun in there, just walk out the building.
Yeah.
Because you know in about 5 or 10 minutes, he's going to shoot him.
Very cool games. For this, I've got one of my CRTVs down from the loft and set it up, and I've played nothing but Time Crisis for 2 weeks.
Interesting side note to that, I've been playing it on MAME with the mouse, which is surprisingly good.
Yeah?
It's not obviously how you should play it, but I couldn't believe how well it worked. Just literally started running the game. I was like, oh, we'll see how this goes. And it's like, no, crosshair, move around with the mouse, shoot. That's perfect. It's really good.
I guess the thing is, with Time Crisis, when you get good at it, because you start off and you do aim, didn't you? You set it up.
Well, you start to preempt.
Once you start, and I remember being very good at the first Time Crisis when I had it back in the day, I could clear it through without losing a life. I don't think I ever got anywhere close to the times, though. The times that were on the scoreboard are ridiculous. But it was a relative movement. I didn't aim so much anymore, as I knew that how much I had to move to go. I love playing it now, having in the wake of the John Wick movies, and how John Wick always double taps everybody all the way through all the films, apart from, I don't know who does in the third one, but it's so much of a bloody cartoon. He probably doesn't.
I've still never seen them.
They're very good. They get progressively less good as they go on, but even the least good one is still a lot of fun. Particularly John Wick 2. He double taps everyone. Everyone gets 2 bullets. And playing that is how I've always played Time Crisis.
Yeah.
It's always click, 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 all around everywhere I go. So if I miss with one, the other one's going to get them, or you get score 2 hits.
Well, you do get 2 hits as well, don't you? That's one of the things I always thought, shoot twice, hope for 2 hits.
Yeah.
Maybe get one.
Yeah, absolutely. and what we were talking about before, the whole vibe of it, the whole feel of Time Crisis was very much action movie, very much that kind of, and action movies, thanks to the likes of Die Hard and Hard Boiled, were massive at the time, weren't they? 95, they were still big.
Oh, yeah.
The big resurgence in action film.
But one of the things, the big thing about that, you start off and you'd see the rest of the level behind what you were doing currently. Yeah. There'd be a big action sequence behind some boxes. It's always behind some fucking boxes in those games. Just shoot through the fucking boxes. They're only wood. But no, you'd have like a very zoomed in moment where you have to shoot a few guys and then it'd pan back around to this huge submarine pen, which is, you know, the opening level. And then you move through that.
Yeah.
And that was the big difference. That idea that you were in an environment and moving through it to your next action scene.
And this was very much the early days of 3D.
Mm.
And you're right. I mean, it's that simple idea and taking through it. But it does. I think what I was getting at before is it's not just there as a graphical style. It's that urgency of moving through it, isn't it? It keeps that really well, and it does the first person of it. It's almost Sam Raimi-esque at points, isn't it? It's sort of lots of quick turns.
I don't know. Bruce Campbell never turns up.
But it is that kind of almost, when it's in first person, it's very much, you are very much in his spot, aren't you? It does bring that to third a couple of times.
It's the director's eye, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that thing of like, this is exactly what I want to show you. You are the camera. You are the thing behind the camera moving through this environment. I
absolutely love that bit in the first game, not that bit, the recurring thing of looking up at the clock tower and seeing the time on the clock. I think it's such a brilliant and simple thing to do that sort of feeds into that sort of B-movie action thing. Like you're racing.
It is a race against time.
Which is, I think it's fantastic. I genuinely love it. It comes back to that thing again. I think Time Crisis Investment very much feels like somebody's vision, somebody's idea, and just seeing it through to fruition in quite a focused way. As always with these games, the longer they go on, the more sequels come in, they lose that. And you end up with this weird bright orange gun controller that's sitting on my floor with like four nipples and 18 buttons stuck on it.
We haven't mentioned Point Blank.
No.
Which for my money is a better game than Time Crisis.
So rewind, what?
I found Point Blank as a two-player experience in the home environment with a few beers, with a mate, a more enjoyable experience than Time Crisis. Because Time Crisis on the PlayStation, and I think on the original arcade version, is only a single-player game.
It is, yeah.
To have that two-player competitive gun game thing at home was brilliant. I loved that. I really, really enjoyed that. I've got very, very fond memories of us playing Point Blank.
Yes. And I must admit, I mean, with a very, very good game, I don't have to must admit it. It's obviously a very good game. It's a brilliant game, and it is... It's basically the WarioWare games that people know. They're very sort of short, sharp, little tiny mini games that you play for about 4 or 5 seconds a go. And that's what Point Blank is. It's like what did we play that was very similar to that?
Super Bishy Bashy Special.
Super Bishy Bashy Special.
That occupies a very special place in my heart. Do you care to elaborate on why?
So if you haven't played Super Bishy Bashy Special, which is a brilliant, brilliant game, if you haven't played it, find it and play it. It's on the PlayStation. There was an arcade version. I don't know what else it's on. But it's on that WarioWare area. Very, very short, sharp games. Very quick fire. And it's designed to be played in two-player almost exclusively.
It's a party game, effectively, isn't it? It's the precursor to things like... Super Mario All-Stars, is it?
Party, Mario Party.
Yeah, that's it.
And so, the game starts and you're given something to do and you have to do it. What Dave is alluding to is a game that started and the words "shoot the tank" appeared on the screen. And I genuinely, in all seriousness, without a hint of an irony, went, "What do I do?"
I mean, to give it some context, we were probably quite drunk at this point.
We usually are.
But, oh, fucking, I'll never forget it. What do? Shoot the fucking tank. I mean, what more do you want? Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Whenever I see Super Bishy Bashy Special, or just the words Bishy Bashy, because there are a few games in the series, I break down crying almost in tears of laughter. Because that's the only memory of that game that I have. I can't remember anything else about it.
No,
that's the only thing I remember about the entire thing.
Brilliant, brilliant fun, I remember. Oh, and then that. But just great. But yeah, I mean, that's what Point Blank is, isn't it? It's Bishy Bashy Special with guns. And you're right, as it is brilliant fun to play. Tell me about your arcade experience of Time Crisis. Or Time Crisis 2, I assume.
No, Time Crisis, well, actually, I think Time Crisis 1 more so.
Really?
This is one of the things I've been thinking about a lot as I've been playing it on Steam, MAME recently, is I remember it more as a very brief arcade experience, but then mostly PlayStation.
Yeah.
PlayStation version was, obviously, you're not pumping money into it. And I think it was probably around the time with arcades where you sort of looked at a game and thought, £1 a credit? Fuck off. I'll play it once because it looks fun and I like the gimmick of the pedal and the hiding and whatever. But yeah, once I die, I'm not putting another pound in.
I think I played a lot more Time Crisis 2 than Time Crisis.
Really? I don't think I've ever played Time Crisis 2.
What?
I have no memory of it.
Wow.
I could be wrong. I've definitely played Time Crisis a lot on the PlayStation. But I'm not sure I've ever played Time Crisis 2. Maybe in arcades once or twice. Yeah. You know, just walking through an arcade, ooh, Time Crisis. I'll have a go. But yeah, I don't remember owning it. I don't remember owning. In fact, I know I didn't own the guns. The only time I ever spent with them is when I'm playing it at yours, or I think I borrowed your gun in Time Crisis and Point Blank for a little while.
Yeah, do you know, I think you might have done.
And that's really my experience of them.
Wow.
But they've still got a real, like, you know, place in my heart. I love them. I think they're brilliant. Yeah. I've played the odd Time Crisis 3 or 4 or whatever here and there when I've been in arcades and there's been an actual game.
Yeah.
Not this ticket shit.
I will play Time Crisis 2 whenever I see it. You do see Time Crisis 2 more than any of the others in arcades. Saw it recently. I played a bit of it in an airport. I played a bit of it in one of those bar arcades. I was in one of those in Bristol, and I played it with a kid who was, you know, literally half my age. And had the sort of the double-edged sword of him looking at me at one point and going, how are you so good at this? And me thinking, is this really something you want to boast about?
when you say half your age?
Literally, less than half.
You're sure it wasn't quarter?
No, I'm not that old. You know, it's so much of, certainly the first level of Time Crisis 2 and a good chunk of the second. So you've got the sort of the streets and then the boat. After that, it gets brutally hard. I just played that. I've played it a lot, and it, sort of playing it again recently, come back to me quicker than Time Crisis did. And I probably played Time Crisis more, I think, but it was just longer ago. There's been a more of a gap in between.
It's been replaced. It's been pushed out of your brain by Time Crisis 2.
But I still think in my usual way that the first one is the best one. It's such a
for nostalgia.
It's, I mean, yes, for nostalgia, but I think in terms of a game, in terms of what you want, it's that you say. You say you got the simplicity of pointing a gun at a screen, and you've got the duck pedal, and that's it. And it gets, as sequels tend to do, more and more complicated as it goes.
Yeah, sometimes unnecessarily so.
Well, I mean, I don't think any of the complications particularly add to it. There's a neat thing in Time Crisis 3 where you get different weapons and you can choose them. Because in Time Crisis 2, you get different weapons, but they just use them until they run out.
Yeah, limited use power up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been around since Operation Wolf.
Yes, and in Time Crisis 3, you can choose them, and that works really well. Time Crisis 3 really is a lot of fun, and I think because of that, it does add something, and it's one of those things that does add something. But I wouldn't have wanted it in Time Crisis, because Time Crisis is it's just that pure experience, that simple, as you say, point and shoot, literally.
I was just about to say pure experience. Because it is, isn't it? It's literally point gun, shoot.
Yeah.
And then occasionally duck.
I noticed the amount of times I have played Time Crisis on the PlayStation, I noticed one of those little yellow fuckers that I'd never seen before when I was playing. And it's right near the beginning as well. So, you know, in the submarine pen, right at the beginning, but above the submarine at the very top right-hand corner of the screen, tiny little yellow dude runs across. Never seen him before. And I didn't even shoot him. I was just like, what the fuck? The amount I've played that game.
And it's how just, have I never seen that before?
It's just crazy. Yeah. As you say, with Time Crisis, red dude turns up, you know you've got to shoot him because he can hurt your back and all that sort of
thing. Yeah, this is one of the things that I found when playing it again on MAME. It's like, it came back very, very quickly. Like, dude, it's four blokes who pop up on screen, a couple of blue shirts.
Yeah.
A guy in orange who I remember, oh, he gives me more time.
Yeah.
Or he adds to the time. And then as soon as I saw the red guy, I was like, that's the one that shoots you really quick in the face. And he shot me really quickly in the face.
Yeah.
So, right. Yep. I think I've got this now. But I've also, it's great for that. It's that replayability. You could do this again, you could do it better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's, with a lot of these sort of games in arcades, you wouldn't. If you went into an arcade now, or if I went to an arcade now, and I saw Time Crisis, I'd go and get 50 quid out from the bank, change it into pound coins, and I'd stay there for like the next 4 hours playing it. But back in the day when it came out, you just didn't, did you?
No.
You'd put 50p in, have one credit, might put a pound in and get two. Good experience, really good fun, really enjoyed that game. Off I go. And do or play something else.
You very rarely return to it quick enough to learn it, would you?
Exactly. Which is what all arcade, or certainly most early arcade games were entirely based on.
Yes.
It was learning the patterns, learning what comes on the screen, at what point, what you need to prioritize, things like R-Type.
Yeah.
Shoot 'em ups are one of the prime examples of it, where you've got formations and patterns of enemies coming onto a screen. Like, you've got to move up at this point, left and right at this point.
And it is so different, again, this episode sponsored by Slagging Off Generation 7. But so, so different to what you have now.
Difford's going to be so disappointed.
You couldn't beat R-Type. Having never played it before, you couldn't.
Good God, no! You wouldn't get through the first level.
No, you can't. You need to play and replay and learn, and that's how they were built. And you know, even it's that great thing. I think when arcade games came to home consoles, when they limited your lives, it was always free lives, wasn't it? And that's what you had.
Yeah.
Then continues, and so, Time Crisis 2 on the PlayStation 2 does a brilliant thing where every time you beat it, you get more credits next time, so you start with 3 credits.
Oh, okay.
And it ends the game.
Oh, I like that.
You still end the game, but it's like you've played it, and it gives you can have an extra credit next time round.
That's good. I do like that.
Yeah. And they are games, all of them actually, maybe not 4 from what the little I saw, do a brilliant job of bringing the exact arcade experience into your home because of the peripherals. Because it's the exact arcade experience, and even the original Spectrum version was incredibly close to the arcade Spectrum. What the fuck? Can you imagine Time Crisis on the Spectrum?
There probably was. I bet you're going to Google it now and find out somebody made it in 1998.
Probably.
I mean, there are new games still being made for the Spectrum.
I know. People are dedicated. But no, the PlayStation and the arcade version are very similar. There's not a lot between them, really. Obviously, the PlayStation's got that very sort of idiosyncratic, slightly jaggy, almost jittery edges to things. I think every Time Crisis game adds something to that experience on the home version. Like Time Crisis 1 had an extra level at the end.
Okay.
Which their Project Titan follows on from.
Okay.
And Project Titan's got X-Wings, and obviously Project Titan wasn't an arcade game, but it's Time Crisis 2 has got this thing where you get extra credits each time, there's extra game modes, there's even. Did I ever tell you the story about in the Point in Milton Keynes, or anyone who doesn't know, the Point used to be the cinema in Milton Keynes, and they had a, as most cinemas did, some arcade games in there as well. And I was in there not to watch a film. I think probably went in there to play games in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
There was not really anyone else around, but they had Time Crisis 2. And I decided I was going to try and play both screens at the same time.
Fucking hell.
I put in a quid in each slot and picked up both guns. And I did all right for the first bit. Where?
How did you cope with the pedals?
By falling over quite a lot. Well, I didn't actually fall over, but I was very off balance a lot. But there's a bit in Time Crisis 2 in the very first level, very on, where they split up and it's mm-hmm. like two different games. And apparently you can do it with it. If you've got a link cable and two PlayStation 2s, you can play it on the PlayStation.
Oh, okay.
The exact same way. Yeah, so that's when my experiment failed miserably at that point. But what Time Crisis 2 on the PlayStation 2 has is two gun mode. Full on John Woo. If you've got two G guns,
brilliant.
Because I do have two G guns. Because obviously, yeah. And it's so much fun, and it's exactly what I wanted that experience where I failed in the Point to be all those years ago.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Can you remember what the last film you ever saw at the Point was?
No,
I can.
I don't think I saw very much at the Point at all.
I don't know if you remember this, but when it was shutting down, they said to all the staff, what's your favourite film? We'll get it and show it. And we went to go and see The Thing.
Was that the Point?
That was the last film I ever saw at the Point.
Brilliant on the big screen. I mean, it's a great film anyway, but brilliant on the big screen. I remember seeing it in the cinema and loving it. I didn't really remember that was the Point.
Mm. Really grainy old print of it as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I went there often, because we had the Bedford Cinema, we had Granada, and then eventually the new one that opened up. No, you didn't really need to go to Milton Keynes.
No.
But then I remember in the late 90s, early 2000s, when Aspex Cinema, whatever one owned it at the time, got so decrepit. Yeah. I used to go to the new, the Snow Dome in Milton Keynes had a really, really good brand new cinema in it. And I used to go there.
Yeah.
So I'd rather go and get a bus for half an hour, three quarters of an hour to go to a different town, to go to a better cinema, to go to the Bedford Cinema.
I remember being in a bar in there and you getting a White Russian.
Yes. That was the next part of my story.
Was it the first time?
My first ever White Russian. I went to see, I can't remember what it was. It might have been the first Lord of the Rings film I went to see there. No, I know what it was. I went to a job interview in Milton Keynes. And I had the whole day, the rest of the day to do whatever I wanted. So I went and watched the first Spider-Man film.
Okay.
The first Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
And because I was just there for a job interview, I hadn't really timed it particularly well. And it was like an hour to the next showing. And there was a bar next to it. But I just went in and I thought, I'll have a White Russian, please. And that was what started me drinking them. Because I'd seen The Big Lebowski. And I just thought, oh, I'm going to try one. As it turned out, it is my favourite drink.
Your signature drink?
Certainly my favourite cocktail. We need to go up to Glasgow and go to Lebowski's.
Where's Lebowski's?
Well, there's two. There's one in Glasgow, there's one in Edinburgh. It's a Big Lebowski-themed bar that does a massive selection of White Russians based on characters and things from the film.
Oh, wow.
It's brilliant. I was up there for work about 5-6 years ago. Found it on Google. I was just like, this can't be real. I've got to go there. And it was just the best place. And over the course of a week or two of working up there, I got through the whole menu.
Nice.
And because I'd been chatting to the bar staff quite a lot, when I got to the last one, the guy said to me, what's your last one? I was like, oh, it's this one. It's just The Big Lebowski. It's served in a milk bottle, in an old pint milk bottle.
Cool.
He's like, oh, excellent. And he brought it over. He's just like, it's on the house, mate.
Oh, no. Nice.
Oh, cheers.
Do you know what's really fucking annoying? I was up in Glasgow 6 weeks ago, maybe.
Don't tell me you were right near it.
right near it. And I was literally killing time on my own in Glasgow and ended up going to the airport early because I just got bored. Yeah. But yeah, that's really annoying because that's literally where I was hanging out, killing time.
And it was it's a very nice part of Glasgow.
Yeah.
I was so surprised. I had this image of like train spotting in mind when I was going up there. Oh God, I'm going to get stabbed by a heroin addict.
But yes, I was killing time in there and I got to the point where it was it got really, really cold. And I had a wander around. And then I went, you know what? I can't find anything to
fuck
do.
It.
I'm going to the airport. I'm going to hang around there instead.
Mm.
And I could have been in Lebowski's by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you could.
You said that you'd given a lot of thought to your cocktail this week.
Well, not necessarily I'd given it a lot of thought, just that I knew it was going to be an effort to find.
You were, what's the word, focused, like you wanted.
I was focused, yeah. I knew that there had been the bar in Leicester that I've mentioned a couple of times before, I think, called Firebug, do a shooter and a cocktail of the week/month based around film, a game, an event, something that's coming up. It's one of those things where you pop in there and it's just like, oh, just out of curiosity, what's this week's cocktail? And I knew from a few years ago they had a cocktail called Shots Fired.
Ah, nice.
So it's one of the shot ones, small glass, knock it back. It may or may not be vile.
So you're telling me this is another cocktail you've not tried?
Of course it's a cocktail I've not tried. It's from 3 years ago when I wasn't going to Firebug. So there is a point at which it changes from something that I would absolutely love to try to something that I probably won't try. The list of ingredients for this are cream, dark chocolate Mozart, which is like a chocolate liqueur.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever had it.
No.
Kahlua.
Okay.
Yeah. As you know, big fan of it from White Russians.
Yeah.
Vanilla Absolute Vodka.
Okay.
So I'm really on board with this. It sounds really, really nice. Chocolate sauce. Okay. It's going to be very creamy, chocolatey,
very
coffee.
Sweet, yeah.
Vanilla-y. And then Tabasco sauce. Which may just be a splash for flavour. Might not be. I don't know. Normally with ingredients, you list the most to least.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm hoping Tabasco is just literally like a splash on the top.
Mm.
But that sounds like a cocktail I would really, really enjoy. I'm tempted to go into Firebug and just say, excuse me, there's this cocktail from 3 years ago that I dug up off of your Facebook page. Can I have one, please? They'll probably do it.
They probably would.
If there's anybody there that was there at the time, they'll sort of look at it and go, yeah, I remember that one. We'll do you one.
It's in the book.
It's in the book, yeah.
The interestingly enough, when I was on my journey of trying to find a cocktail, I found a shot that has Tabasco in it as well.
Yeah.
And this is my mistake I mentioned right at the beginning where I got the name of the recurring antagonist from the Time Crisis series is Wild Dog and the Wild Dog Gang. So they sort of turn up being basically guns for hire for whoever the latest baddie is. And the main guy, Wild Dog, gets variously fucked up, but he still returns with a new bionic part in the next game anyway. You know.
Yeah.
And I forgot that he was called Wild Dog and thought he was called Mad Dog. The Mad Dog Shooter, which was, until I realised my mistake, going to be my drink of choice for today, is vodka, raspberry syrup or raspberry concentrate of some sort, and Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, weird.
And it layers up because of the various weights. The raspberry sits on the bottom as a very thick red layer, and then the vodka on top of that. And then when you drop in your Tabasco sauce, it just kind of hangs there in this weird sort of cloudy sort of thing. And I tried one of these. And yeah, so it's just three things, vodka, raspberry syrup, and then Tabasco. And I tried it, and I was like, I'm not sure I like that. And then a little while later, I was like, I want another one of those. And they're just a really addictive combination of like things that don't sound like they should go together. And I ended up having three or four of them. but I can't choose it because I got the name wrong and it's not Mad Dog at all. I think what happened with my Mad Dog, it comes back to that John Woo thing. Mad Dog is the bad guy in Hard Boiled, and Tequila, where I went down that road for a while, is the good guy. And neither of those two things came to fruition. There is a Wild Dog cocktail. Three ingredients. See what you think of this, right? Southern Comfort.
No.
Bacardi.
Oh, fuck off. No.
Pineapple juice.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so...
That's horrid.
Yeah, that didn't make the list. So I discovered one of these, and one of these is one I know already.
Okay.
And I think coming back to take it quite seriously, which is, you know, unlike us generally, but yeah. Much as like in the pilot episode, which I've removed, sorry to keep mentioning it to our beautiful listeners, because it's now removed because it was such a technical disaster that I didn't want it to be representative of our work. I chose for Pac-Man the daiquiri because it's, and I'm going back to this whole theory, it's a simple thing and it's classic, like Pac-Man is classic, the drink is classic. And I'm very close to choosing the Cuba Libre for the same reason, which is a rum and coke with lime in it, for the few people in the world who don't know. For a couple of reasons. One is obviously Cuba Libre means free Cuba, and revolution is very much a recurring theme in the Time Crisis games. The first three feature some sort of revolution of some sort. And so that's very much a theme, but also it's that kind of, it's such a simple thing, the rum and coke, but it's delicious. Obviously, and the lime added to it just takes it up a level more than you would even expect. It's a guy in a pub in Bedford, weirdly, used to do them, and he would rub the lime around the rim of the glass as well as put it in the coke as well. And it was amazing. It was a great way to have a Cuba Libre. And I like that. I like that. The simplicity of it. I like the reference to revolution that the games have as well, and that's a possibility. And then there's what I've been drinking tonight, which is my new discovery, which is called the Revolver.
Very good.
For obvious reasons, but it's bourbon, coffee liqueur, so Kahlua, orange bitters, and a bit of syrup. If you want it, I found it was too sweet with the syrup in it, so I left it out. It was a bit of a revelation because obviously Kahlua is something I normally have with vodka and shake it up into an espresso martini, and you have it in your white Russians. And I stopped putting it in my espresso martinis because the barman I had at my wedding said, you know, if you just add a little bit of sugar syrup, all Kahlua is vodka and coffee and syrup. So what you're adding to your vodka and coffee and syrup is more vodka and coffee and syrup. Yeah. He was like, just leave it out.
You're kind of diluting it, aren't you?
Yeah.
At that point. He said,
just leave it out. Put a bit of, if you want it a bit sweeter, put a bit of syrup in there and just call it a day. So I've not used Kahlua in my espresso martinis ever since.
Mm.
Jason from up in Scotland calls it my signature drink, an espresso martini with no Kahlua in it. He thinks that's my signature drink. I've adopted it very much. I don't think it is. Obviously, my signature drink is a Corpse Reviver number 2.
No, your signature drink is a can of Skull shotgunned with a screwdriver.
On a curb in Cotton Egg.
At least in my mind, anyway.
True stories, folks. But yeah, anyway, the Revolver, they're lovely. It's basically bourbon and with the predominant flavour is bourbon and Kahlua, and the orange bitters it's like, it's more like an orange zest rather than orange juice is the vibe you get from orange bitters.
I wouldn't want to prejudge it. I would taste it before judging it, but I wouldn't, based on what you've said and what's in it, I wouldn't expect to enjoy it.
Not your bag.
No.
I'm a big fan.
Give it a go.
It's helping me use up both my Jack Daniels, which I don't particularly like anymore, and people keep buying me, and my Kahlua, which I'm not putting in my espresso martini. So it's a win-win, really. And it's really nice. So I'll let you choose. Is it the Revolver or is it the Cuban?
Just for the pun alone, I love the Revolver.
Yeah, we'll go with the Revolver. I think it's a good shout. And it's new to me as well, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a good part of this, isn't it? We go looking for cocktails based on their name and discover new things. It's good times.
Oh, you said you had the ingredients for the Whiffin. How did it come out? Did you make one?
I did make one. It's actually very nice. It's kind of... I think my problem is my gin. The gin I had for it wasn't great. So it tasted very, very ginny, with gin being the main ingredient. But it was nice that it's gin and vermouth, so it's going to be in the martini ballpark, which is what it was. But being Rosso vermouth, it's got a bit more of a fruity flavour. But yeah, it was very drinkable. Very nice. Hmm. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'd recommend giving it a shot if you ever happen to stumble across all those ingredients. You've got a good one. It's almost your namesake cocktail.
Yeah, close. I was a little bit disappointed in that.
So, it's your turn to choose, Dave.
I already have.
Dave's already chosen.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Oh, my Lord.
Which means that you're going to have to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and listen to that god-awful song that you hate about that bloke's girlfriend. No selectively turning off the music. I can't even remember what band that is.
So that's cool. So that's next time out, the wonderful, wonderful Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. And I, as usual, we'll talk about lots of other add-on games as well as my two weird Game Boy versions. I will find out between now and then whether the remake and the new remake's any good. So Dave and I will hopefully have you to listen to us talk about that next time out. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. I just want to say, mate, congratulations. You've made an entire episode without once mentioning Turbo Esprit. It's the first time, and I think we should celebrate it.
I'm just going to edit it in.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere, right in the middle, just Turbo Esprit.
Yeah.